and take heed how you hear. I thank God for those two statements. Take heed what you hear, and take heed how you hear. There's so many strange voices out there, and they're closing in on us. Strange voices. But there is a voice of Jesus Christ that has not left us nor deserted us. But we have a voice that has told us the right way, has told us the true way. For Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Did you know that Jesus was a narrow preacher? We are accused of being narrow-minded people. We are living in a generation of the open mind. I believe in an open mind. But when the mind gets so open until you can run a freight train through it and never touch either side, that's a little bit too open. Jesus was a narrow preacher. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father except he comes by me. John the Baptist was a narrow preacher, and evidently what I read in the Bible, John the Baptist never got to read that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. He just never had the opportunity to read that book. When he looked out over his congregation, he said, you generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He lost his head because he was plain, but he was a plain preacher because he laid the axe at the root of the tree and said, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So take heed what you hear. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you are a prophet. Then he turned to his own group and said, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus Christ is concerned about what you think about him. I said, Jesus Christ is concerned about what you think about him. Peter said, thou art the Christ. Then Jesus said, upon this rock. What rock? Simon Peter, 10,000 times no. Upon the true identity of myself. Upon the fact of who I am, I'm going to build my church. My church. It belongs to him. It's his church. He built it. Israel came into being by promise. The church came into being by purchase. He purchased this church not with the blood of others, but he purchased this church by his own blood. By his own blood. We are blood bought, redeemed, not with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but we've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. I want to dedicate this little story to the preachers. The preachers are a peculiar breed. They're in a class by themselves. It's my church. When you have a great Sunday night service and you see another preacher the next day, or you go to a fellowship meeting the next day, you ought to have been in my church last night. Man, my church is going. But you let something go wrong in that church, and that preacher hunts the prayer closet. Now, Lord, you know this church belongs to you. In fact, it's his all the way through. He built it. He laid the foundation. He's ahead of it. And one day, he's coming back to redeem that which he has already purchased. Well, praise God. Now, listen, I'm going to preach a while. My God, I feel it coming on right now. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Bishop, get your Bible, will you? Brother Mangan, get your Bible. You look so good. But it looks like you're expanding a little, but you're healthy. That's good. Listen, it makes a difference on what you think about him. It makes a difference on where you put him in worship. We live in a time when they tell me that Jesus is the second person in the Holy Trinity. Billy Graham said one time that the Trinity could not be explained. I agree with him. Anything that does not exist cannot be explained. That's right. It can't be explained. It makes all the difference in the world where you put him. And I want to serve notice on you right now that Jesus Christ is not a junior God. He is a God of all time and eternity. He's the first, the last, the beginning, the ending, the Alpha and Omega. Everything belongs to him. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him. But when you hear a strange voice out there that will tell you to put him a second, Jesus said, take heed what you hear and take heed how you hear. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any sensible question that people ask about God, if they'll take a sensible answer, is found in the Bible. It's found in the Bible. I want to tell you a little story I heard one time. Now, I know that that never happened nowhere in Louisiana. It could have happened in Arkansas. Maybe Alabama. A man and his wife had a falling out. You don't know what that is, do you? They had a fight. And he looked at her and asked a question. He said, I want to know why God made you so beautiful and yet so stupid. With a smile on her lip, twinkle in her eyes, she said, I know. God made me beautiful so you love me. And he made me stupid so I love you. Sometimes when you ask a question and you do not get the answer that you expected, you are a little bit disappointed. I baptized a lot of preachers in my time. I held one tent meeting, I baptized 7 preachers. And when I baptize preachers, I hold them under a little longer than I do anybody else. Because I want it to soak in. I want it to soak in. And any preacher or any church-going person or any rank sinner that will listen to the voice of God will be baptized in Jesus' name. They will receive the Holy Ghost. They will believe in the true identity of Jesus Christ. They will believe in the oneness of God because there never have been but one God and there never will be but one. Hallelujah. Glory! Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. It belongs to him. And as long as I stay in his church, I'm going through. It's like a banana. As long as it's on the stalk, it's all right. But when it leaves the stalk, it's going to get skinned. Listen, I'm going to stay in. I said, I'm going to stay in. What would I do if I should suddenly decide that I was going to give up and go back? Where would I go? I got saved when I was 17 years old. I'll soon be 82. I've been preaching over, well, now about 64 years. Never had a public job in my life. Got out of school and picked up the Bible and started preaching in the days of depression. And when the depression was over, nobody ever told us. So we went right on being poor. We didn't know the difference. That's right. Just kept going right on being poor. But you could have revivals, get under a shade tree, put up a tent, build a brush arbor. Yeah, they'd come. Mosquitoes, bugs, lost people. We had revivals. I swallowed bugs all the way from Maine to California. All the way. One night I was in Maine and a bug flew in my mouth. I guess I had my mouth so wide open until he thought he was going outside. But he got in. And somebody brought me a glass of water. I said, I don't want no water. I'm going to let that one walk down. Hallelujah. Preach that. Preach no other doctrine. Preach him. Lift him up. Preach him. Preach his dead blood. Preach his power. Preach his name. Preach his church. I want Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. I want Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Listen, I'm a church preacher. I love to preach on the church. You know who he is the Savior of? The Savior of the body. The body is the church. We'll never go there without belonging to his church. Now come on, everybody. This is a generation. They found out that they could not destroy our doctrine by persecution. Then they started soft peddling, back peddling, and soft soaping. Believe. Believe. Go to the church of your choice. All right, if you go to the right one. Are you ready for some narrow preaching? I'm going to give you some narrow preaching right now. God told Noah to build an ark. The writer to the Hebrews said that he prepared an ark for the saving of his family. Who went in the ark? A family. All had the same name. Who came out of Sodom and Gomorrah? A family. All had the same name. Lot, his wife, and two single daughters. The Bible said the whole family in earth and heaven is named after him. When he comes, he's coming for his family. Jesus is the family name. He's coming for his family. That's who he's coming for. You'd better like it. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I love the Bible. I love the book. When God told Noah to build an ark, he said, build that ark. He gave him the plan. And I cannot conceive in my mind that before the ark was completed, before the flood came, that there were billboards all over the countryside that said, the flood is coming. Go to the ark of your choice. That's right. He didn't build but one. I was driving some time ago between DeQuincy and Starks on that two-lane highway, and I drive a lot, and I have a tape player, and I listen to myself preach. I just as soon hear myself preach as anybody else I know. So I just put on my tape, and I have a good time driving my car. I shout, I praise God, and I noticed the highway patrolman met me. Wasn't but a few minutes, and I looked behind me, there was a sheriff's car pulled in behind me. There was a car in between us, and that car passed me, and the sheriff's car turned on his lights. And I've learned a long time ago, when they turn those lights on, to get out as fast as you can and go back and meet the gentleman. And I started back, and he started toward me, and he stopped. He said, Brother Gamble. I said, that's right, that's me. He belonged to one of our churches over there. He said, you know why I stopped you? I said, no. He said, that highway patrolman radioed me and said, you better check that car. He said, I believe that driver's drunk. How long has it been since you had a Pentecostal drunk on your head? Now, come on, everybody. You talk about old-time religion. It's time to get to the basics. You know, what they're preaching now, they're saying, get back to the basics. I've never left the basics. I'm preaching the same thing I started out preaching. I've already preached the basics. I came in shouting. I'm going out shouting. I came in preaching this. I'm going out preaching this. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:18. Read it.
Okay. It's right there. And he is the head of the body.
Who is?
Jesus.
Jesus is the head of what?
The body, the church, the bride.
Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Of the church.
Of the church.
Come on, everybody.
He is the beginning.
Jesus Christ is the head of the body. The church is the body, and Christ is the head. I've had a revelation. occasion of the rapture. When the trump of God sounds, the head of my church will start toward the earth, the body will start toward heaven, and somewhere in midair, the head is going to be joined to the body, and we shall forever be with Him. Come on, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4.
There is one body.
500.
One body.
400.
One body.
You're hard to deal with.
One body. I'm narrow.
Narrow, that's right. Paul was. One body.
One body.
One head. Any body with two heads is a freak of nature. So there's one body. There's one head. All right, Bishop, come on. There is one body.
And one spirit.
Three spirits.
One spirit.
Two spirits.
One spirit.
Well, have it your way.
I will.
One spirit. Come on.
Even as you're called. One hope.
In one hope of your calling.
One Lord.
Three Lords.
One Lord.
Two Lords.
One Lord.
One Lord.
One Lord.
Everybody say one Lord.
One Lord.
One Lord. Come on.
One faith.
One faith.
One baptism.
One baptism.
One God.
How many?
One God.
Oh, come on.
One God.
One God.
And Father.
And Father. Of all. Who's above all. And through all. And in you all. Hallelujah. I want Genesis 5 and 1. Listen, I've got to quit now in just a minute. Maybe 3 minutes. Maybe 5. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Do I ever feel good? Do I ever feel good? I'm kind of glad that the other preacher got a little ill. Don't tell him I said so, will you? We have more fun than anybody. I said we have more fun than anybody. It's fun to go to church. It's fun to preach. If you don't believe I preach, ask me. I'm a good one. If I have any Yankee friends here, please forgive me. It's not as bad as it used to be, but when we Southern preachers would go north, they would laugh at our brogue because we say you all. And they say used guys and youans and whatever. I was up there one time and I said, you all. And I saw them nudge each other and smile. I said, I know why you're smiling. You're smiling because I said, you all. But I said, I had a brother that talked like that. And I turned to Ephesians 4 that we just read. One God who is the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. And when I left, I had those Yankees saying, you all, hallelujah. Even Mason Dixon had to draw a line to separate you all from you guys. But he said, you all. God is above us. He's beneath us. He's in the back of us. He's in the front of us. And most of all, He's in us. Hallelujah. He's in us. I said, He is in us. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. Would you let me just read two scriptures? Then I'll quit. I want Revelation 19 and 7. I want Genesis 5 and 1. Read it.
This is the book of the generations of Adam.
This is the book of the generations of Adam.
In the day that God created
man. In the day that God created man.
In the likeness of God made
him. In the likeness of God made he him.
Male and female.
Male and female created he them.
And blessed them.
And blessed them.
And called their name Adam.
And called their name Adam. Adam was ahead of the old creation. Eve had his name. His wife came from his side, and his wife had his name. Now, Jesus is ahead of the new creation. The solution that produced him a bride, when the soldier thrust in a spear, out came blood and water. That bride is going to have the name of the bridegroom. Marriage is a great institution. No family should be without it. But I've been to a lot of weddings in my time, and I have performed a lot of weddings. And I've seen a lot of brides that would have been better off if they'd have kept the flower and threw the groom away. When Paul got ready to describe the church in Ephesians 5, he chose a man and his wife. A man and his wife. Do you know what we are? We are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. We are part of him, and he's a part of us. Hallelujah! He is a part of us, and we are a part of him. In the beginning, it was God's ordained plan for the woman to take the name of the man. And if there's any of you young men here today courting, you better watch out. Adam went to sleep, and he woke up married. There's two things that Adam never had to put up with out of Eve. He never had to listen to her telling all the good traits of the man she could have married. And he never had to hear her say, "My mama told me not to marry you." And I wondered about Eve. I mean, I just imagine, just reasonable. I would like to know how many fig leaves she tried on until she finally said, "I'll take this one." Come on, Bishop, right out here. Listen, Christ is coming. He's coming for his family. I said he's coming for his family. He's coming for his bride. You talk about the Jesus people. Let me tell you today, we are the Jesus people. I said we are the Jesus people. We recognize him as the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. I said the first and the last. He's the great I Am. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. Even if you're on Medicare, you ought to be able to shout over that. Come out here, Bishop. Revelation 19:7.
Remember, I got the Holy Ghost to revival 1940. Remember that.
1940 in Kokomo, Indiana.
I'd be glad.
Wait a minute. This fellow was a salesman. Lived in Plymouth, Indiana. Came over to Kokomo to work the town the next day. He got in Sunday afternoon and come to church. And I was preaching and a hollering and a screaming. He came to church and got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yes, so this man right here.
Let us be glad, rejoice.
No, be sorrowful.
And rejoice.
We don't have anything to be glad about.
Rejoice.
Somebody said, "You people are too emotional." You are too. Everybody has emotions.
Yeah, that is the one.
I said everybody has emotions. Let us be glad
and rejoice.
And rejoice.
And give honor to him.
And give honor to them.
For the marriage of the Lamb.
No, wait. Give honor to them.
Him.
Them.
Him.
And give honor to him. What for?
For the marriage.
For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready. Has made herself ready. The church is getting ready for the marriage of the Lamb. And when the Lamb comes, he's coming for his bride. I said, when the Lamb comes, he's coming for his bride. Let's stand right now and give honor to him. And give honor to him. And give honor. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord. I want to know if you believe what that man preached.